Rabbi Daniel Bider. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Well, thank you.
Excellent. So we're talking about lessons from Corona. We've learned some very, very interesting lessons from the American Tennis Society. I imagine that's not the kind of wisdom that you're going to be sharing with us this morning.
Well, this morning I'm going to be talking about convex, giant fruits, and coronavirus. So if that's what the American Tennis Association were talking about, there could be some overlap. If not, maybe I have something new to add, which I'm happy to do.
I suspect you do have something different to add.
Okay. So this is what I'm thinking this morning. We have just officially, theoretically, as Jewish people attending shul, attending synagogue, have finished the book of Vayikra, the book of Leviticus. We're about to embark on the book of Bamidbar, which is known in English as Numbers, as far as I recall. Mm. Now, that's obviously theoretical because no one's able to go to synagogue or attend services at the moment, but it's an interesting book which tells us about the nitty-gritty, about the day-to-day life which our ancestors encountered when they were on their journey in the wilderness from the land of Egypt to the land of Israel. And all sorts of strange things happened, which I'd like to make some kind of sense of. They were often confronted with things which were objectively pretty attractive, objectively should have made a very good impression, such as Moses, Moshe sent some spies to the land of Israel. They saw the most amazing, beautiful fruits. They saw a bunch of grapes which needed, I think, 8 people to carry it. They saw a giant pomegranate which needed a man to invest all his efforts into carrying it, etc. They saw these amazing, incredible, beautiful fruits, and they weren't blown away and saying, wow, these fruits are truly amazing, what a wonderful country. They said, ooh, how freaky. This country looks like it's a bit strange. Let's try and avoid it. So that's interesting. Also, another related incident is that our ancestors received a heavenly package of food to their front door every morning. They received a freshly baked loaf of bread, as it were, in the form of manna or mun. And some of them took issue with this and said, don't like this very much, not so interested in this. Why can't we just have regular food, which is very bizarre, because that food would actually taste of anything which you wanted it to taste of. So here they were with this stuff which looked objectively pretty good, landing on their, you know, coming into their lives, and they were saying, no, we don't like it. Now, I want to contrast that with another phenomenon which we've witnessed recently, which is this. Coronavirus is an objectively bad thing. You know, here I was a moment ago speaking about objectively good things, giant fruits, bread on their front door every morning, and people were taking the negative view, saying, no, thank you. Here we have coronavirus, which, by all accounts, is a gruesome, horrible thing. There are thousands dead, millions ill, and billions locked down, incarcerated in various forms of lockdown around the world. And some people are really rising to the challenge and doing amazing things despite, or maybe because, of that coronavirus. Schools are embracing online education. Many children are embracing it as well. Businesses are seeing coronavirus not as a threat, but as an opportunity. I have a friend here in Johannesburg who's turned his flag-producing business temporarily into a mask-producing business. How brilliant is that? Brilliant. And we even have radio show hosts deciding, hey, let's do something useful, and instead of just moaning about corona, let's create a corona coaching course. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So what is it that can make us have something so positive come into our lives, such as giant fruit or bread in our front door, and we say, no, thank you, I'm going to take a negative view. And then we can have something so negative, and this is indisputably very negative, coronavirus, it's caused untold misery around the world, yet thousands, maybe millions of people are rising to the challenge and turning this into a period of growth, into a productive experience. What is it that enables people to take the objectively bad and make it good, and take the objectively good and make it bad? This is the issue which I would like to discuss with you today.
Great question. Zanetti, what do you think of the question?
It's brilliant.
All right.
It's so interesting. Okay. Okay. We're listening.
Yeah, we're listening. Zanetti, do you have an answer? No, Zanetti.
No, I don't.
I hope Rabbi Binder does. Otherwise, it's really a bit pointless. Yeah.
A massive anticlimax.
Right, it really would be.
I'm very tempted to end at this point because I very much like the response. I mean, if you like it and Zanetti like it, that's good enough for me. So absolutely. I'm going to go and have some breakfast.
Yeah.
Now, before I do that, I'm going to share a thought with you. So I was reading a book by Tony Robbins, well-known success coach, probably a couple of years ago. I can't remember what it's called, something like Awaking the Sleeping Dragon or Waking the Dragon Within You or something like that. Anyway, it's about, having a more tuned in life and paying attention to your skill sets, etc. So he brought a following fascinating story which involves two brothers who were interviewed in the late 1990s, not 1890s, that would have been too long ago, even by my standards. Two brothers who were interviewed in America, and they were deliberately chosen because of their fascinating background. So one of these brothers was a successful manager, regional manager of a national business, and he lived in, I think he managed the northeastern branch of this business, and he had the dream. He was living the dream. He had his single family house and his wife, three kids, dog in the, you know, dog, two cars in the driveway, etc. And he looked like a picture of success. Meanwhile, his other brother, his brother, was in jail for a murder conviction and all sorts of drug-related convictions, etc. He had a, you know, what these American prison sentences are like. I think he was kind of destined to come out of jail in about 4,000 years' time. And, you know, they'd embarked on very different directions in life. And they were both asked, because they're brothers, what was it that brought you into this situation? And the extraordinary thing is that they both gave exactly the same answer. They both said the following. Our father was in and out of jail our entire childhood. He verbally abused us, and he physically abused our mother. And, you know, when I looked at that, when I came from that kind of background, what alternative did I have? Now, that is extraordinary. Because one brother has used this very difficult background as a crutch to blame his unwillingness to get on in life, his unwillingness to succeed and do anything. This is a very convenient hole for him to fall back into, to crawl back into and say, well, I never had a chance, nothing was going to happen. Meanwhile, the other brother has used this as a platform, as a stepping stone to a life of success. He's looked at this and said, that's what I saw. There's no way I'm going to give that to my children. I'm going to use this to spur me on, to motivate me to be an incredible success. And the lesson of this really is that they may have told you when you were a kid that seeing is believing. When you see events, that's when you believe them. But actually what emerges is a really interesting theme, that believing is seeing. What you believe, if you have a narrative, if you have a success-based narrative or a kindness-based narrative, you're going to interpret events in keeping with your narrative. So seeing is believing is out. Really, it's about believing is seeing. What you believe is the way in which you're going to interpret events and scenes which confront you in life, which I think is sometimes called confirmation bias. In other words, you will interpret these events in keeping with what you want to believe. So you better make sure you have good beliefs. This is all about having the right beliefs, because if you have beliefs that you like, that you've affirmed, that you are comfortable with, that resonate with you, that is going to equip you to deal with everything which you encounter in life in such a way that it spurs you on. That which fits in any way to your narrative is obviously going to help you, and those events which don't really or jar with it are going to be used to motivate you, are going to be used as stepping stones to say, I don't like that, I'm going to do something completely different. This is going to motivate me in a positive direction. That was a negative experience. Meaning that even negative experiences can be turned into positive experiences. So if we turn our attention back to the two conflicting dynamics which I presented at the beginning of this talk, we can kind of understand what was going on. So those among our ancient ancestors back in the wilderness who were confronted with giant fruits and said, no thank you, they obviously had a very dim view of the land of Israel. And since they decided already, for whatever reason, reasons best known to them, that they didn't want to go to the land of Israel, anything which came from the land of Israel was going to be interpreted in a negative way. So these giant fruits, no thank you, these are freaky, these are telling me, the message is, stay away from the land of Israel, stick with the Woolworths, Pick and Pay, whatever it is that you prefer, Fresh Fellas for those who live in Glen Hazel, just stick with the devil you know, because that's better, don't get involved in the freaky giant fruits from the land of Israel, stay away. Now, when we contrast that with the way in which some people, some very dynamic, inspiring people are dealing with coronavirus, this is fascinating. We said that, you know, schools are rising to the challenge and students are rising to the challenge and business people are rising to the challenge, and people who want to do good, who want to be kind, are using this as a platform to say, hey, it's about time that I did something in my life and perhaps got involved in some kindness organization or some charity or that kind of thing. They've obviously walked into this with a different attitude. Their attitude, maybe the underlying attitude, even before any of this happened, was, I've got a positive attitude. I'm someone who's going to motivate myself from experiences, even if they appear superficially on the face of it to be negative. I'm somebody who is going to be ambitious and take advantage of opportunities, even if on the face of it they're negative. And it's not that they've landed on the right side of coronavirus, many of these people. They've been confronted with the same disappointing, upsetting lockdown that other people have. All the difference is that they walked into this saying, I've got a positive attitude. I'm going to use whatever comes my way to motivate me. And I would like to suggest that is what has enabled people to rise to the challenge and turn what should have been, what could have been, a really negative experience into a meaningful experience and a period of growth in their lives. That's what I wanted to suggest.
Absolutely awesome.